No, ChatGPT and AI is not going to make you a marketing genius, but there are some incredibly powerful things that it can do to greatly improve your marketing. So in this episode, we're going to talk about six things that you should be using ChatGPT for every day. That and more coming up on the MarketingAndService.com podcast. Hey, Justin Bruzzo here from MarketingAndService.com podcast, the podcast to help you build your business by creating incredible customer relationships. If you find value in this episode, please take a moment to follow or subscribe. If you want to do me a huge favor, leave a 5-star review. It means so much to me, and it's what helps keeps me going and motivated. I'd love to hear from you, so hit me up on the MarketingAndService.com Facebook page. What marketing challenges are you having with your business, and what would you love to learn more about? Let me know. I'd love to hear the feedback. So, wow, I took a little break from this podcast because, quite frankly, I said everything I wanted to say, but it seems like every time I step away for a little bit, the whole world turns upside down. Things are just very, very bizarre right now with things going on in the marketing world. It is now May of 2023, and there's some interesting things going on. We've got the Bud Light controversy, possibly the biggest blunder in marketing that's happened in a long time, certainly in terms of economic impact to the bottom line. We also have ChatGPT, an AI that is all the rage, and that's exactly what I want to talk about today, because there are six things that you must be using ChatGPT for. So I just want to dump right into that because this is something that is, I don't want to say it's the greatest thing in the world because it's not. There's a lot of issues with it and it's not perfect and it's not a solution to all of your problems, but it is an absolutely incredible free tool that can help significantly with your marketing, especially if you're a small business, because the small businesses generally don't have the resources to do a lot of the things they need to do in marketing, so they just don't do it. But at least this can might get you over some hurdles and let you do some things that you really should be doing, but do it quicker and do it easier and have a little peace of mind about grammar and spelling and things like that and not really having to agonize over every piece of content that you create. So let's just jump right into this. And in case you've been living under a rock and you've never heard of ChatGPT, ChatGPT is a AI chatbot, essentially. It's from a company called OpenAI, and you can go to OpenAI's website and you can use ChatGPT for free. The free tier basically has some limitations in how much you can use it, and there are times where it may not be available to you because it is overloaded. However, if you pay $20 a month at this time, then you can get basically priority access and you're probably never going to be locked out of it. And you can ask it more questions faster and get faster responses. But essentially, the outcome is the same whether you pay or whether you use the free tier. The way it works, if you've never used it, is it literally looks like just about any other chat you've ever had on the web, except that you can ask elaborate questions with significant answers. Likewise, you can ask very simple questions with significant answers. And I think the one thing that is important to know is that AI is not really going to create anything new, at least right now, the way this is. I know people think this is revolution and it's going to change the world. It really is not at this point, I don't believe, is going to change the world, and mainly because there's a lot of problems with it. It's not always accurate. It's not always perfect. And the more you use it, especially within a given field in which you are an expert, you will start to see a lot of the shortfalls. The scary part, which is my opinion, which is not shared, everyone is scared that there's going to be a nuclear war, and that AI is going to be responsible for it. But I'm actually scared that scrupulous people are going to use it to offer marketing services to businesses that will pay, and they are going to get inaccurate things. They're going to get poorly written things. They're going to get things that are factually incorrect. And it's just going to create a much bigger challenge for marketers to stand up and provide a good service. At the same token, it may really separate the real marketers and the good marketers and the educated marketers from the ones that just want to play and try to squeeze $1,000 a month out for SEO services, but not really offer anything in return. So I don't know where I'm at, but I am fearful because of the SEO strategies and because of the volume of content that can be created. I do fear there will just be mountains and mountains of data and articles and SEOs and blogs and all these things that will dilute accuracy. And one thing that Google does is has authority, and ChatGPT does not. You don't really know where the content is coming from. They don't really know where it's coming from. It's an amalgamation of everything that's been on the web. And at least with Google, when you get a piece of information, they do make authority a top priority. Hey, that kind of rhymes. I like that. Authority is the top priority. But it really is. If you are, let's say, IBM, and you have an article, a technical article about quantum computing, Google knows that IBM builds quantum computers, and they know that they are a reliable source for information. More so than if I just wrote a nonsense article about quantum computing, it probably would not rank anywhere close to the first page on Google, no matter how much SEO I do, because there's probably a dozen companies that is their expertise, and they have the authority, and that authority has been proven and established over a long period of time. And the problem with ChatGPT is authority is not necessarily taken into account. So potentially, if you say write a article, a blog article about quantum computing, you may end up with some nonsense that I wrote that's not accurate and not real, or you might end up with a little bit of IBM stuff, a little bit of my stuff, a little bit of someone else's stuff, but you just don't know. So that's why I am fearful that it will dilute the reliability and the accuracy of information on the internet, which is already such a huge problem. And I do feel like this is just going to make it way worse. But we'll save that for another day. Let's just jump into this. And let's say these are six things that you need to be doing with ChatGPT in marketing. And this is free. So, I mean, just do it. It's free. It takes a few seconds, and you're going to get very powerful feedback. And if you use it properly and you're using it from the perspective of the expert, and you're telling it exactly what you want it to create, it is an incredibly powerful tool because you are in control of it. It is not in control of you. And I think that's the defining factor in the success of using ChatGPT in marketing. So number one, review your marketing collateral. This is something that rarely ever happens. Let's say you have a brochure, let's say a page on your website, let's say it's a product description, whatever it is, you have all this marketing collateral, and a lot of times you agonize over it, you might change words here and there, and you proofread it, and you edit it, and you proofread it, and then you get that file that says final, 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 two, final, final, three, final, final, this is really final, and then that's the one you use, and once it's done, you never go back and look at it again, because that was the most stressful, horrible experience to create this one piece of content. Now you feel it's perfect. You don't want to mess with it. But this is an awesome opportunity to go back and take every piece of marketing collateral you have and literally copy and paste the text into ChatGPT and ask it what you should do. Here are some of the things you can ask it to do. I mean, you can literally ask anything, but in my opinion, these are the things you should ask it to do. One is proofreading. You can give a block of text and you can say, please proofread this and make sure there's no spelling or grammatical errors. And it will proofread it and suggest changes. You can also ask it to suggest improvements. So let's say you have a block of text or a lead sheet or whatever it is, you can copy and paste the whole document in and say, can you suggest improvements to this? Now, saying suggest improvements is a broad term. And this, again, is where being a marketing professional or being aware of the ideas of marketing will really help this tool be more powerful to you, because you want to suggest improvements that meet a certain criteria, right? Because how does it know what an improvement is in your mind? So being more specific here is more powerful, and it will listen to you. So you could say something like, you have a piece of marketing collateral that is for sales, but there's someone who's technical in the organization that would like a more technical perspective on whatever your content is. So you could say, suggest improvements that I could use to make this more technical. And then it will give you ideas, or you can just have it do it. Obviously, if none of that technical information is in the document in the first place, it's not just going to make it up out of thin air. But this is a great way to just say, suggest improvements. How can I better capture an 18 to 25-year-old female audience with this text, with this block of text? And now, maybe for someone like me, who's a 40-something-year-old male, it may give me some better context or spark some ideas of how I can better relate my content to someone in the 18 to 25 age group. So again, this is why you need to be aware of these things in marketing in general. And if you're not, you're not necessarily going to get the best answer. But in this case, if you're very specific and you know what you would like to see improved, then you can ask it and you'll get it. You can input things and you can ask it to just suggest changes. Or can you suggest changes that might make this easier to read? All right, so maybe it's not an improvement. I guess that would still fall under an improvement, but you can just say, suggest changes, make this easier to read. And maybe it'll cut some words out. Maybe it'll say you don't need this. And then you end up with the exact same content, but it's neater, it's cleaner. If it's a print document, it might fit on the page better. But, you know, again, this takes 1 second. You just copy, paste, ask the question, and boom, it's going to give you exactly what you need. One thing that's good too is exploring changing the voice or the tone of your marketing, or ensuring that the tone or voice of your marketing is consistent, right? So do you present marketing in a very professional way? Do you do it in a playful way, a fun way, a corporate way, a serious way, a technical way? You should always try and strive to have a consistent tone of voice in your marketing materials. And although that sounds very simple, that's not always the case. Sometimes you might have a professional document and then maybe you're in a fun mood, so you create a fun document. And then the tone of voice of the company kind of shifts here and there as you go along. And that's very common and that's normal. And it's, you know, it's certainly not a bad thing, but it's not a great thing. Consistency is a great thing. And so here's a good opportunity where you can say, I want to have a playful tone of voice with my business. I want it to be a fun, playful company. I want the content that we do to be fun and playful. So you can take the content that you have and say, can this be made more fun or playful? And boom, it will instantly take your content, regurgitate it back to you in a more fun or playful way. Likewise, you could say, I think this is a little too fun or a little too goofy. Can you make this more serious? And boom, it'll take the exact same content and it'll pump it out in a serious way, and it'll do it virtually instantly. So this is why it is so powerful. The last thing in this part of reviewing your marketing collateral is your websites. Now, I'm not talking about every word and every description. I'll get to that later, but I am talking about your main talking points on your website, your main content. It's so important. Here's your opportunity to take those blocks of text that are on your website. Maybe it's the about us. Maybe it's what you do, why we're the best. Whatever that is, you already have that. Take it and just plug it in and say, can this be better? And use what it gives back to you if it makes sense. Because most of the time, for me, and I think I'm pretty savvy, I would say 7 out of 10 times, the suggestions it makes, I look and say, wow, yeah, that's I should have thought of that. That's definitely better. Again, though, I'm being very specific about what I want from it. You can't just say create amazing marketing collateral and hit the button. Because if you don't give it all the aspects and all the data points of what you do in your business, then it can't really do it. It's just that's when you're going to get into trouble and you're going to end up with a lot of junk that may or may not be accurate. But if you're giving it a whole block of content that's already perfect in your mind and you say, improve this, give me suggestions to make this better, or how can this better impact my web audience, or can this be better formatted for a mobile device, all those little types of things, this, you're not asking for major changes, you're asking for little tweaks, but it's those little tweaks that can take and elevate your content like 10x or 100x. So that's number one, review your marketing collateral. Number two, create targeted emails using your existing emails as input. And what I mean by this, I've had a lot of episodes, I think, in the past where I've talked about the importance of targeting emails. You want to make sure that anyone getting one of your emails, that the email is relevant to them. The problem is for most small businesses, again, like in the first thing I suggested, you probably don't have the resources. It's hard enough to make an email that you feel comfortable with and that you think hits all the points and that is short and sweet and impactful. Now the thought of having to do this 30 different variations of it based on what someone else bought in the past, or, you know, an age group, or, you know, whether they're male or female, or whether, you know, whether they make a lot of money or they don't make a lot of money, all these little things, all these little demographic data points. Now you can do it very quickly. So you can take the email you already have and say, you know, basically, again, like before, target this to a younger age group or an older age group, who have previously purchased something, you know, XYZ. They previously purchased this memory card. That's what I'm looking at sitting on my desk right now. So I'm going to use that as an example. You know, so this email for customers that previously purchased a memory card, can you rewrite it so it is more impactful and relevant to them? So now it might take your content and it'll say, oh, okay, we know you bought this memory card before. Thank you so much. We think you might like this. And that alone is going to allow you to create variations. And we talked about that a lot. We've talked about testing a lot in this podcast. Testing, testing, testing. Always be testing. Always be making improvements. This is an incredibly difficult thing to do because it's so time-consuming, especially when you get something that starts to work. Then you get apprehensive about changing it because you don't want to make it worse. But with this, you can easily just crank out 10, 12, 14 different variations of the same email that are targeted and are unique to a certain subgroup or sub-audience, and it will save you hours and hours and hours of time. I promise you that. Number three, you can generate social media ideas. Now, a lot of people love this with ChatGPT. Look, give me 20 social media posts for a memory card company that sells 10 different types of memory cards in 10 different sizes in 4 different markets, blah, 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 and boom, it'll just crank out all these posts. And then you copy and paste them, you put them in your scheduler, and you say it's good to go. Nah, that's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is you probably already know, if you've been on social media for a while, generally, the stuff that is most impactful is the stuff that is more personal. It's the stuff that affects you and your friends and your customers. It's the picture of a happy customer holding something up. It's the picture of you showing some new product you got, or behind the scenes of something that you're doing that's really interesting. Maybe a picture of you making the product, or a video of you making the product, or unboxing the product. Like, those are the things that usually do really well. The posts that just say, "We hope you have a great day today," those usually don't do very well. Now, it might keep your brand relevant. I'm not saying you should never have posts like that, but I think it should really be part of a social media strategy. And I know we've talked a lot about this on the podcast in past episodes as well, is having that strategy is really important. So you want to make sure when you use ChatGPT to generate social media ideas, that again, you're not just going to say, give me 20 ideas. You're going to say, give me 20 ideas built around this framework of this strategy that does X, Y, and Z, right? You can be that specific. You can also, I think this is really important, and it applies to all six things we're going to talk about today, you can ask ChatGPT follow-up questions. So let's say you ask for 10 ideas and you realize when you read the responses, oh, you know what? I should have said this. You can just say, oh, by the way, give me those same 10 ideas again, but keep in mind that, you know, whatever. Keep in mind something that will change the content, and it will take that and it'll recycle the post that it just gave you, but it'll modify it in a way that better fits what you're asking it to fit into. Another strategy here when generating social media ideas is make sure you use your audience definition. We just talked about that in 1 and 2, really having your demographics, use those demographics and give ChatGPT your demographics. So again, you can say I'm targeting 40-year-old men that work 60 hours a week, that make X amount of money and live in a house. And this is what I want to try to sell them, or this is the, you know, the social posts that I want to make. And now you're going to get things that are more targeted to your demographic. So again, I'm going to keep saying this. I know I sound like a broken record. What you get out of ChatGPT is significantly improved by what you put into it and what you ask. And this goes not just for ChatGPT. If you hire a marketing company or a consultant or a fractional CMO or any of these types of things, it's the exact same thing. You can't expect them to know every intricacy of your business and actually perform at 100%. You should be answering questions all day long. You should be getting all sorts of questions from your marketing guru who's going to use all that information to help build a better marketing plan. So in very much the same way that you would interact with a marketing consultant is the way you would expect to interact with ChatGPT. Number four. This one I think is this one's kind of a simple, easy one that it shouldn't take a lot of time. If you sell products on an e-commerce website, if you sell more than, let's say, 10, 20, 30, maybe you have 100 plus products on your website, there is a good chance that on a lot of those you have copied a manufacturer's description for the product that you're selling, right? So what that means is if you're selling a candle, you sell this candle and you just take the manufacturer's description that's on their website, you copy it and you put it in your description. And while that works fine for the customer who's trying to buy the candle, it does not work well for SEO. And the reason is because what we discussed before about authority, if two websites have exactly the same content, but one is authoritative, aka a manufacturer that's huge, and the other is a small business with a little website, it's always going to prefer the large business over the small business. So one way to overcome that in SEO is to have a unique product description. This is not a game changer. It's not going to revolutionize your life, and it's not going to make you rank number one on Google overnight, but it will make an impact, and this can be done super, super fast, because now you're not asking it to do anything new. You're literally going to copy and paste the manufacturer's description that you already have on your website and say, make this unique for my website for the purpose of SEO. You could take it a step further and say, for the purpose of SEO, targeting these keywords. And now it might be able to take those keywords and make sure that they're parsed and put in a place that is optimized for SEO today. So that's definitely something that you can do. You know, do 5-10 products at a time. You do that over a couple weeks and boom, now every single product description is unique. There shouldn't be a lot of room for error. Of course, you want to proofread and you want to make sure it's correct and that no factual things change. But if you tell it to not change any factual things and just basically reformat it and spice it up in a way that would make it unique from the manufacturer's website, you are going to be golden and it should go very, very quickly. Number five, since we're talking about SEO, what phrase or keywords are you looking to rank for? You can take existing content, and this is anywhere on your website. This could be your blog. This could be your website. Again, this anything on the web. This could be social media posts. But ask it, can you optimize this for SEO using the following keywords? And then you can check your page rank, see where you start, and keep track of it. Specific keywords, long tail keywords. We've talked about this. The long tail keywords are, instead of just trying to rank for candles, I used that example before, you might say vanilla candles with two wicks. Now that's a long tail keyword, right? Because someone's going to Google and they're typing in something longer and more specific than just candle. And the bottom line is you have a much better chance as a small business to rank long tail keywords than you do to rank short keywords or single keywords, right? So, you know, basically manufacturers, big corporations, Fortune 500s, those that spend hundreds of millions of dollars in marketing, they're always going to get the keyword for the short word, right? They're always going to get sneakers. You're not going to rank number one for sneakers. It's not going to happen. You're not going to beat Nike. You're not going to beat Under Armour. You're not going to beat Adidas. You're not going to beat these massive corporations. But if you are building a keyword strategy with long tail keywords that say blue sneakers with brown laces and white soles, now that's a long tail keyword that's really specific. Nike, honestly, they're probably not spending a whole ton of time on trying to drill down to something that specific because one, they don't need to, they already have the authority. But two, it's the opportunity for you to now compete in that area. Because now if someone goes to Google and says, I'm looking for blue shoes with brown shoelaces and white soles, now all of a sudden, boom, you're an exact match for what they're looking for. and the big corporation might not be an exact match. Now, again, this doesn't work every time. It doesn't automatically mean if you do this, you're going to rank number one for that thing, but you can research this. And I've done other episodes, so I'm not going to get into that, but you can research these keywords and you can learn where you have opportunities and where you don't. So this way, you don't waste time doing things that you don't need to do. But it's really important if you're using ChatGPT for SEO or you're doing it on your own, always just, you got to track and you got to look at where you're starting and where you end up and if what you're doing is working. Because obviously if it's working well, you can keep doing more of it. If it's not working at all, you don't want to keep wasting time in a strategy that's not giving any results. Number six, this one I think is the most powerful for small business. And you can ask it to you can ask it how to respond to a negative review. And actually, those episodes that I've done on negative reviews and engaging with negative reviews, those are some of my most listened to episodes. And I think it's something that I see personally small businesses struggle with more than anything. And I think that's because a review for a small business is very personal. If I give you a terrible review and I say your business is terrible, your products suck, I'm basically saying you suck and that everything you do is terrible. And of course, there's going to be a certain level of offense that's taken on that. And the gut reaction is to respond and say, well, what the hell do you know? You're an idiot. And I see it all the time. I see this happening. I see bad reviews. And then the response from the owner or the response from the business is, you know, you're an idiot or this is fake or this is nonsense. Don't waste my time. That's never a good strategy. And again, I'm not going to rehash why and go into that. You can go back to some of the other episodes where I talk about how to handle a bad review. But this is now how I would say to handle a bad review. Literally take the bad review, copy it, paste it into ChatGPT, and say, how should I respond to this review in a positive and empathetic way? And you hit enter. And it will give you a specific response that is positive and empathetic. Now, you can choose not to use it, but I can tell you right now what it pumps out. I'm almost certain will 99.999% of the time be more compassionate, more empathetic, and more positive than what you're going to write when you're in a fit of rage. So that's it, folks. After a long break, I come back with ChatGPT. And those are six things that I think you have to be doing if you want to be successful in your marketing or you want to be more successful in your marketing and you want to save a ton of time because, of course, time is money. Thanks so much for checking out this podcast today. I really appreciate it. Again, if you want to get in touch with me, it's justin@marketingandservice.com. That's justin@marketingandservice.com. You can always email me. You can hit me up on the Facebook page, the marketingandservice.com Facebook page, and I would love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of this episode. Let me know if you actually use ChatGPT and how you use it. And I would love to see if your experience is similar to mine. But again, thanks so much for listening. I will catch you on the next one.